Drive is live, as you heard Clint Sterner there. You heard Tyler Milner as well. And this is a tough, for the next hour for us, we're all going to try as a team. Tyler will and Cheryl will have a little bit more of an opportunity to see it, but we will try to get everything to you.
That Big Nick energy.
On who is going to be released, who is added to the team, if they go and sign someone, if they're looking for. We'll keep you updated on how the 53-man roster shakes out for the Texans. By the way, happy day 85 since we last seen Kyle Tucker on the field. So
85, huh? Good Noah Brown number.
There.
So, yep. I think he needs a shin transplant.
Yeah. Day 85 since we've last seen Kyle Tucker. And just wanted to keep you up on that. But from what we do know, the notables of who's been released. Texans, they have released veteran corners. Mike Ford, also C.J. Henderson was released in the backfield. Charlie Heck. Who has been battling that foot issue is released as well. I think Charlie Heck's that's a Bill O'Brien draft pick, I believe. Yeah, Andrew Beck and Troy Harrison. More on those guys a little bit later. But the two fullbacks potential, those guys are released. Ben Skoranek, receiver who was in the mix. Dez King, not a shocker there. He is released. Quintez Cephas is gone as well. Tegan Quatoriano, who got the injury with the calf in the Hall of Fame game, he is also released. But Clint, if there was one to surprise, I think it would be Noah Brown. I personally did not see Noah Brown coming. We talked about the receiver room and where they would go a lot. And I know, hell, weeks ago, you said Noah Brown was a lock at four, and I agreed with you. And they brought him in and signed him to a deal and brought him back, and it seemed like he had separated himself. Now, he hadn't been practicing or playing, but I kind of thought it was a situation like others who haven't been practicing or playing that didn't put his roster spot in jeopardy. But, Clint, they indeed move on from what we thought was their locked-in number four receiver, Noah Brown. How did you see that one coming? Because I didn't see that one coming.
No, I thought Noah Brown was as safe on this roster as the top three wide receivers were. I mean, this is a guy that when you needed him the most last year, came in and gave you back-to-back buck 50 games, I think. Was a tremendous fill-in. Sure, there's been some injuries, that have obviously been a little bit of an issue. But when you look at this team, man, the Texans are going to be an 11 personnel team, which means one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. And I know Bobby and D'Amico talk about, well, it depends on each game, what we're going to do, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, this team is going to be a C.J. Stroud-driven football team, and they are going to be a pass-first football team.
God bless, brother.
And they are going to be an 11 personnel football team, period, point blank. And they're going to need more than just three guys. And that's without injuries. I'm not talking about throughout the year, guy gets dinged up, got to sit a game here or there, or you lose one of them, God forbid, for the season. They'll depend on the number four wide receiver.
Yeah.
He may not have the catches and all, but just in terms of being on the field, they'll depend on a number four wide receiver.
Hey, and we got to get real about it. Like, they're, however you want to call it, but I would say they're two and three receiver have shown the history of missing ball games,
yeah,
getting injured. Nico Collins and Tank Dell,
yep,
have missed a bunch of games in their career,
yeah,
at the receiver spot.
Yeah, and look, so you're going to use more than three receivers, so you're going to be dependent on four and five in the offense, not on special teams, literally in the offense. And Noah Brown right now is currently a better option than any other wide receiver on this roster. Now, we can talk about the upside of John Metchie. We can talk about, you know, what Xavier Hutchinson brings to the table, which I think is very Noah Brown-like potential. But potential, I don't know that I would choose it now, especially when, to my knowledge, Noah Brown signed a one-year, $4 million deal. I think $3.5 million of it was guaranteed. So you gain absolutely nothing financially by cutting Noah Brown. So when it's all said and done, he was a better option than anybody else on this team as of today. And I know the first thing with Noah Brown is going to be the injuries. And that doesn't add up for me. Other than the timing, like right now in training camp, missing the last chunk of training camp obviously doesn't help. The timing is not good. But when you look at Noah Brown has been available. You look at a three-year window. The last 3 years, Noah Brown has been available for 39 games. You look at the last 3 years, Robert Woods has been available for 40 games, and that's their guy. So don't sell me the injury issue with one guy, but it doesn't matter with the other guy. So
that's what they're saying on YouTube and Twitch. He isn't worth a damn if he's always injured.
Yeah, well, last year was a year when he played fewer games than I think he ever has. And he was worth quite a bit last year.
Yeah, he had back-to-back games.
In fact, you can argue that the Texans don't go to the playoffs if he don't go get a buck 50 in back-to-back games.
Yeah, against the Bucks and the Bengals, he was
two monster games.
And seemed to have some chemistry with CJ.
You can talk about not being available and not being worth this and not being worth that. And look, we can do the same thing with Robert Woods. I don't know if Robert Woods is going to make this team or if this is a play to trade. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Robert Woods. But the thing with Robert Woods, you can cut him and save $5 million. But if you keep him and one of these guys gets injured or multiple of these guys get injured, your top receivers get injured, and Robert Wood goes out and gives you 8, 9, 10 catches in a game, 100 yards in 2-3 games in a month stretch when everybody's down, he earned his $5 million. He's worth every penny. I'll sit here and tell you right now, I don't like going into a season and Robert Woods being a player that you're depending on, which is what the Texans were doing.
Is that where they are, you think, right now?
No. You ain't dependent on 4 or 5.
Yeah. But they say no.
You're not dependent on those guys until you have to. And that's the part of this that really I think blindsides me is if it's not Noah Brown, it's got to be Robert Woods. You can't tell me that you're going to go into a season with like you said
that you've seen enough from John Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson to say like they're going to
be in this rotation from jump. Not when if you didn't have Noah Brown, cool, whatever. But you've got Noah Brown. And he's got $3.5 million of the $4 million you owe him is guaranteed. So you just cut him for a number. You didn't cut him for any money. Then it's like, yeah, I mean, the context matters, right? You give me Noah Brown, or you give me Metchie and Xavier. I would take Noah Brown if week 4, 5, and 6 I need somebody to step up and give me something. And you don't have to look any further than last season. In a year when you exceeded expectations and made the playoffs, you eked into the playoffs. A guy that helped you win monster ball games midseason, that surprised me. Yeah, it surprised me. I'm very interested to see how this wide receiver room how it all settles. You know, they could potentially now you're talking about keeping 6, and you could keep Metchie, Hutch, and Woods.
Again, like you're as you said. Because I think the whole context matters. As you said, the money is not the issue, right? That the money is not the issue. He is already getting paid. Well, first off, it was $3.5 million, which is not a huge, but that's not what Robert Woods is getting. So it's $3.5 million.
Say 5 by cutting.
Already, he already has 3.5 of it is guaranteed of the 4 you're giving him. And when you look at all the guys that are going to be there, from the Steve Sims, who I haven't seen get cut, I assume is there, and Metchie and all the ones you just named, Woods and Xavier Hutchinson, and I like many of those guys. But I know in this offense, in this group, that Noah Brown, when called upon, can go make big plays and make plays against good competition. I know Noah Brown can do it. And I had him, and I was already paying him almost all of the guaranteed money at a decent rate. I know he can. I don't know that John Metchie can go and do that. I don't know. Maybe he might. I don't know that Xavier Hutchinson can go do that. I think that Robert Woods can go do that. And when you just think about the context of what it was, it surprised me a lot with the injury history of their two of their top guys in Nico Collins and Tank Dell, that a reliable guy that you know what he can do. I was surprised that they went that direction. Now, I want to say this. And I want you to hear this because sometimes many of you go leaping off of the Grand Canyon into what we're saying.
Fred Hartman.
Hold on, so
many of you,
big bridge you said
many of you go to jumping off the Fred Hartman bridge, the yellow one, into things we're saying. I'm not saying, and I don't believe Clint is saying, that this is going to prevent them from getting where they want to get, at least of now. We're not saying that. But it is at least a question of, wow, they really feel comfortable of what they've seen from Xavier Hutchinson. And because it's got to be about Xavier Hutchinson and Metchie, because I think you know what you got from Rob Woods.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that they wouldn't. Now, listen, it's not. I don't think this is going to prevent them from getting to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
and it is not a code red, DEFCON 5, whatever. It's not that, but it is a wow. That one caught me off guard.
Yeah, caught me off guard. Look, there's at the end of the day. Robert Woods is a guy that I can very easily see the organization going, well, I feel like he's in a better spot to stay healthy. He stayed healthy in camp. And he brings a lot of very similar things to the table as Noah Brown, other than he hadn't given you $150 in clutch when you needed it the most last year. I could see where that guy's very reliable, veteran, very smart player, can fill the void of Noah Brown in terms of no practice, limited reps, just, hey, second quarter, somebody goes down. Rob, I know you ain't had much reps this week, but we need you. And they feel confident that they're going to get a player that knows the whole playbook, that can do everything. That's who Noah Brown was, right? Now we'll see if Robert can go out there and perform. And in the meanwhile, you keep that older veteran player. They chose Robert Woods. Again, timing. I'll have the injury conversation about timing. Right now, he's the healthy one. And then you can keep your two youngsters and make a play for the future.
What you say? Neither one of them was healthy in the playoffs.
Who's that?
Robert Woods or Noah Brown. Neither one of them were healthy in the playoffs. So, listen, hopefully Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie take that step that I think that the Texans are banking on them to take. And listen, of course, they see them and know them more than we do and more than we've seen on a day-to-day basis. That's what the hope is. But the Noah Brown thing did surprise me real quick. Well, not even real quick, but who do you sense slides into the Noah Brown role? Like, if Noah Brown was the fourth receiver, the guy that if you go four wide, he's the one you bring in, or if, you know, something happens with Tank or Nico and this is the next man up, who do you think slides? And if you had Noah Brown locked in the four spot, who do you think slides in now at that point?
Man, that's a tough one. It's either Robert Woods or John Metchie.
For me, it's the other one. For me, Xavier Hutchinson is the one that thus far has shown the most, like from start to finish, from camp, from OTAs, camp.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly with
right
that
now,
point. Like, I agree that with that point. With that point, but I'm going to pull a Ron Hughley. I mean,
you talking about what they think?
I ain't seen 19 in that huddle with Stroud near as much as I've seen 8 in that huddle with Stroud.
And 2, you're right.
You know what I mean? So that's where I was going with it. I think it's as is. You got your top three. I think the next in line would be Metchie or Woods, and then. But if something happened to one of your top guys, I think the one that they would lean into to now be able to do multiple things and play multiple positions and fill a void and give the team confidence. I think that would be Robert Woods. I think Robert Woods is now their insurance policy for your top three guys. And then I think your fourth receiver is a combination of Metchie and Woods. That's where I think this thing lies. Now, I don't think they're afraid to throw a Hutch in there. But I think that's where they would go from a rotational standpoint. I think we see more Metchie, Woods than Xavier, but they look. Hutch gets his run now, so we'll see.
Yeah, some people from the text line chiming in. You all are so back and forth. One day you say it's important to get CJ receivers, get receiver CJ's, and now y'all upset. Noah is gone. Noah is always injured. I don't know what you're saying. No one said anything about getting rid of Metchie. Right, we I think we both looked at it and said Mechie's probably on this team.
Is that my boy Ron?
I think Robert Woods is probably the one, if you're going to go with a veteran that you pay. Robert Woods is probably the one I know, at least I'm looking at. I am. From the start of camp, I thought he was dead man walking. But then as you kept saying, like, oh, they keep him in here. They keep him in here. And they've kept him on. To me, it's Robert Woods. Now you keep bringing up the injury thing, and I've seen that a couple of times. Oh, he's always injured. Yeah, but what the hell has John Mechie done? What has Xavier Hutchinson done? To just, like, in comparison to Noah Brown, like, what have they done to which you're saying, oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes complete sense. As I said, I'm not saying this is the end to it. They've got probably the three best, you know, receivers in terms of a tandem in the league. But this move here, boy, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, look, I'm not messed up about it. I'm just surprised by it. I would have bet a good amount of money that Noah Brown was a very, very valuable weapon in the eyes of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. But again, clearly he's not. I mean, because you eat millions of dollars to cut him. It doesn't save you any of them. I'm not worried about the fourth and fifth wide receiver on this football team at this point in time. I think they're going to be fine. You know, I don't worry about it until you need it. And even at that time, as long as you got two of your top three healthy, you're going to be fine. But right now, we are on the – I don't know if you've heard – But today is cut down date in the NFL, and that's topic of conversation. Our team here is the Houston Texans.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And thus far, the biggest cut that I think a lot that took a lot of people off, you know, by surprise, is Noah Brown. That's where we're at. That's where we're at, folks.
Again, not
and the deadline's by three. There's going to be some more coming out.
Gotta
by the way,
be. Gotta be. Yeah, the running.
And guess
back
what?
Situation.
We might have an opinion on it.
Might, and. Look, guys, there are some of you who fan certain ways. Some of you are just like, yeah, man, and Nick, we trust. And I can understand where you are. I'm not in the Nick, we trust thing where I just roll with whatever it happens. And I do have an opinion. My opinion sometimes rolls with it. Makes sense with Des King. Makes sense with a lot of guys. Makes sense with Charlie Heck. About time to roll. The Noah Brown thing was a bit of a surprise, so... That is the latest here. We'll keep talking. We'll keep letting you know everybody that is that's still here or maybe gone. We'll keep telling you how this 53-man roster shakes out because they've got to get down by 3 o'clock here in about 40 minutes or so. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:25, Jonathan Alexander covers this team. As a beat writer for the Chronicle with the Texans, we'll get his thoughts on what he's heard, what he saw, and how this thing shook out coming up at 4:25. But the deadline ends at 3 o'clock. All right, coming up next, Clint is with some of these cuts. There's two cuts that we want to jump in on because Clint finally is getting his wish on something he wanted to see with this offense. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Any new cuts yet?
Not that I'm seeing, sir, except for that last fullback.
That fullback. What's his name? Scott Cashmere. That's a left-handed pitcher, isn't it?
That would be Nick Bowden.
Oh, yeah, his wife. His lady is a little wild. That's right.
Texans have now cut all three fullbacks that have been residing in H-Town.
Go look up his wife.
He's the old boy that played a little tight end last week, 83, I think.
Yeah, tight end slash fullback.
He actually does a little bit of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with his old lady?
I think I saw something a little Jersey Shore-like. She's a...
Oh, wow.
She gets out there. Yeah.
Like she's on Jersey Shores or like what do you mean? Like
she's kind of she feels like she could fit right into that show. She's done some sort of reality.
Okay.
I believe wife. Let me check that out. I believe that is. Yeah, I believe that's the case. She's done some.
Yeah,
sort of,
she was on Jersey Shore.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, she was. Yeah, she was on, not some kind of Jersey Shore, she was on Jersey Shore.
Angelina Pavarnik.
Yeah, Angelina.
Jersey Shore star.
God, shout out to Mike the Situation.
Apparently, she mocked whenever Nick Bowden was on the Jets. Apparently, all the stories I'm getting popping up saying she mocked some other player on the Jets' wife and caused some drama. Sounds Jersey Shore-like.
Damn. Man, I miss when MTV used to put out.
Why are we just now bringing this up when he gets cut? If y'all knew this already, that should have been when the
I just realized
he was signed. We should have went off on that now.
I didn't know. I didn't even know he was signed.
She called.
I didn't know he was on the team.
Another one of those Barrett top lists. I mean, we are getting there.
God, that's right. You're right.
I mean, you had an opportunity, Ron. I mean, what are we doing here?
I think we were 27th. That could have gotten us into the top 26.
That could have got us in the top 25, man. 26. Jersey Shore's player's wife, that popularity, we ride that wave?
Wait a second. I misspoke. I misread. I should have clicked on the
link.
Was
she a friend of Angelina?
She was not a Jersey Shore star, this wife of Nick Bowden, but there was a star on Jersey Shore that said some stuff about her. That's what the drama was.
And she, and she did videos going back. Yeah. Okay, that's what I saw. Yeah. She was a rough rider.
Yeah. She's got a, good look about her.
Okay. All right. Really did. Cowboy.
Whatever this picture, she's got really a nice did. Leopard print on.
Okay. Aaron Austin. Nice. Going Sean Bajani. All right. Cut down day. We'll let you know.
Don't kill
got
me,
about,
Nick.
They got about 30 minutes. 30 minutes left until they've got to get all the way down to 53. I'm sure we may get note of some others a little after 3, but we'll keep you updated. There were two cuts that listen, I know you've lived that life. You're not obviously celebrating for anybody, but as you move forward, I think the release of the fullbacks, and now Bowden is another one. But Andrew Beck and Troy Harrison in particular, two guys that were on this roster last year. And Andrew Beck, who played a lot of fullback last year. This now excites you for the possibility of what we could see moving forward at that position.
Well, I was just hoping to see Brevin Jordan add that to his utility role, if you will. I mean, we know he can be a tight end. He can put his hand in the dirt if need be. He can be a split end if need be. He can be the move tight end, that H-back type of guy. We know he can do all of those things. The problem with this football team right now is a good one to have, is you just don't have enough footballs to go around. You've got the top three wide receivers, Dalton Schultz, and a pass-catching tailback in Joe Mixon. Like, where are you going to get Brevin Jordan touches in this offense? They're going to have to be package-driven. In other words, it's going to have to be this week we feel like we go 12 personnel with Brevin as our second tight end. All of a sudden, we've got an advantage with him on a linebacker, him on a safety, and we can run this package of plays, right? That's one way to get him on the field. The other way, I think, is it to go a true 21 personnel, which is two backs, one tight end, two wide receivers, and Brevin Jordan is that actual fullback. Now, you can run your – assuming he can block inside, assuming he can be a force – in the run game, now all of a sudden you can slip him into the flats and get him touches there. You can involve him in the screen game out of 21. You can take shots on plays in short yardage situations where you fake the run and stand up and pop it to him over the head of the linebackers or even over the head of the safeties. I mean, you can just, with an explosive athlete like Brevin Jordan, you can do a lot of things. That's why I liked Andrew Beck there. Andrew Beck was kind of a hybrid player. Wasn't a great, real physical fullback that blocked in the run game and just got nasty, but he got it done, and he was athletic enough to give you some opportunities in other places in the pass game. Brevin Jordan is Andrew Beck on steroids,
from the passing component of it.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, look, and let's be honest. Like I said, Andrew Beck, it wasn't like he was out there just mauling folks.
Either.
So you don't have to be great in the run game or great in the blocking, whether it's pass protecting or run game blocking. He doesn't have to be great to bring to the table what Andrew Beck brought to the table. And like I said, I liked Andrew Beck. I like that style of play. I just think Brevin Jordan's staying power in the NFL, he has to do as much as he possibly can, because he's not a true tight end that's going to put his hand in the dirt and get physical in the run game. He's right now he's behind Dalton Schultz, and he's not a tight end that's going to be featured in a pass game. So it has to be package related, and the more he can do, the better off. And as a fan, I want you to get weapons and, you know, get all the guys touches as much as you possibly can. And if Brevin Jordan is a guy that you go in and as explosive as he is, you find a way to include him in your run game. You find a way to include him in all your short yardage packages, your goal line packages. Now, all of a sudden, you can slip this guy into the flats, and instead of a 6 or 7 yard gain, you got a guy that can take a 70, right? You got a different athlete that can make guys miss in space. Again, you got Andrew Beck on steroids. You got a guy that is much more athletic. Can he get it done at a rate in the run game that allows him to then also, you know, hold that position down and be effective in the pass game? We'll see. But this is one thing that I've been asking for since camp started. I like Brevin Jordan in that role.
I can see how beneficial it could be. It's very much like the Jalen Petrie dynamic. The Jalen Petrie dynamic in which, you can see so much good that could happen with the strengths of Jalen Petrie if he can just cover well enough. And then you can get all of the blitzing and all of him around the line of scrimmage and him around the ball and his instincts. It's the same thing with Brevin Jordan. Can he block well enough? Because you don't want to get in a situation where, all right, he's in the game and either one, like you're just getting your ass kicked even worse than you did last year with Beck back there, or, okay, it's clear he's the fullback in there now, and we know they're throwing.
Well,
like he's got to be able to do it well enough, because I love what you're talking about of the weapon that he can be coming out of that spot.
Well, the other option there obviously is Cade Stover, who has done some of that in the preseason, and he, the one thing that we feel like we know about him, again, I don't know to what degree, but you know he's got some of that dog in him where he don't mind getting physical. You got to have more than that to get it done on the offensive side of the football. On the defense side of the football, a lot of that just chasing the bone will actually work. On offense, you've got to be a little bit more than that. But Cade Stover brings some of that to the table. So I think, look, with those two guys, I believe they've got more than what they need and plenty for Bobby Slowick to work with. The exciting part, the turn you on part, is if Brevin Jordan all of a sudden is a guy that in a 21 personnel, you get him on the field and he's good in the run game and in the pass game.
Oh, well,
now you've got a real weapon.
Yeah, you got a weapon. Can it be good enough in the run game? All right, coming up, we got to look at what last night and what the last couple of days for the Astros has meant. We'll get into that. And there is some news. Another roster decision has been made by a veteran for the Texans. We'll keep you updated on that. All of that coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive as the Texans have about 18 minutes to get back or to get themselves down to 53 on the 53-man roster. We're hearing cuts and hearing moves being made. And here is another one. And I do want to pass this information along for those of you who have not heard this yet or seen this yet. But I think it is also hilarious because Tyler and I were really going back and forth. Well, not really going back and forth. That's a little strong. But we were in conversation on if this is breaking news sounder worthy. And I just... For me, the position just lends that it just can't be. But Tyler had a point of how people feel about him here, so I won out. But I'm sure some of you who will may agree with Tyler on the breaking news sounder should have been hit. But breaking news, this coming from our guy Jonathan Alexander, who will join us coming up at 4:25, that the Texans are placing quarterback Case Keenum on IR ahead of the cut deadline. He will miss the entire 2024 season. Also adding from Aaron Wilson, Case Keenum is on injury reserve due to a lingering foot injury. We saw him limping and walking back to the locker room in the game Saturday against the Rams. Texans also released Tim Boyle. There are now just two quarterbacks on the active roster, CJ Stroud and Davis Mills for the Texans. So Case Keenum,
go Cougs!
Is out for the season, and Davis Mills looks like He's going to be the guy. Well, it was that way anyway, although with Case Keenum on the roster, you never know, especially what happened last year when push came to shove. But Case Keenum out, and it looks like Davis Mills is the guy if there is ever a reason that C.J. Stroud can't play.
You, is this the end for old Case? Career-wise?
He's about to coach his ass off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
what it feels like.
He's about to coach his ass off.
And if that's the case, that is a hell of a career. Cougs should be proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, they should be, no doubt. Yeah, I think this would be the end for Case Keenum. After what we saw last year, just the struggle in a couple of games, I got to believe that, like Ron said, he's got a bright future in the league. It's not like all of a sudden he's going to change lifestyles and be somewhere else. He's probably going to get a good dose this year of what being a coach feels like, looks like, not putting the pads on, of a mentor and more of a leader.
Absolutely.
And so he'll know more after this year exactly what direction he wants to take. Does he want to get out of the game or does he want to continue? But, yeah, I would be shocked if Case Keenum came back and tried to play beyond this injury. Now, the Texans thing here, the interesting thing here for the Texans is – It answers the Davis Mills question, right? There's no doubt about it. Yep. Last year that they didn't have the confidence in Davis Mills that you should have in your backup quarterback. Somehow, some way, although he never played, they've got confidence in Davis Mills so much so that they don't have a third string quarterback in the system right now that's healthy and can play. Davis Mills is their go to if something does happen to C.J. Stroud. Now, I fully expect the Texans to go out and have another quarterback in their system, whether that's practice squad or it ends up being on the roster. I fully expect that move to be made in the near future.
Yeah, this is strange. This comes from Aaron Wilson. Case Keenum aggravated the foot injury, per league sources, against the Rams. He's been playing at roughly 70% the entire preseason.
Got to take care of them wheels, man.
He'll see it out there playing.
Dion will tell you that.
Why the hell's even 70%? And Tim Boyle can't get up. Why in the hell?
Tough son bitch.
I mean, I'm not saying he's tougher. I mean, 70%. I mean, he's a percentage down to 69. That's a D.
Nice.
Well, it's one of the things where if you're Case Keenum, you got to look at it and go, what am I doing?
Go Cougs! That's my guy.
70%.
I'm 70% out here playing in a fourth preseason game, competing with Tim Boyle.
Was he at 70% of the Hall of Fame game? Is that real? Is that
real? The whole training camp.
Whole training camp. Preseason. Wow. Okay. All right. Hopefully, go rest up, man. Have some surgery or whatever you need to.
I just need to go on, get right, do whatever you got to do. Just make sure you're at the meetings every day.
Text line coming through. Yes, Ron, Keenum news was breaking news, sound worthy. Someone text someone on YouTube and Twitch, just let Tyler hit his button.
Just trying to take care of all them loyal Cougs out there, you know. I know how much some Cougs love them, some Case Keenum.
I apologize. I just can't. I can't. Not the third string quarterback.
No, I agreed with
that
you.
That was
in
playing
the,
at 70%.
At the conclusion, I agreed with you.
Real quick, and it's coming in hot and heavy. Texans are placing defensive tackle Kurt Heinisch on the short-term injured reserve with a calf injury, per league sources.
So we don't like that.
That's another answer. They're placing defensive tackle Kurt Heinisch on the short-term injured reserve with the calf injury. So that could be 4 weeks or eight.
Don't get me to guess.
It's either 4 or 8. I think you can do it. You could do it. I think you have certain amount of players you can bring back off of injured reserve. So Kurt Heinisch doesn't look like it is like he's gone or he's off for the year. This is short term, so he could be back. That answers another question we said earlier. Oh wow, him and Khalil Davis both made the roster along with Tim Settle and all of the guys they have up front on the D line. So that's another one from the text line. Know your audience, Ron. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be selfish on this one, folks. Hey, man, I just can't do it. Can't do it, man.
Can't win with them. Can't do it.
Can't do it. All right. Last night, the Astros, by the way, man, it was a great game, but they took the L in extras as Bryce Harper walks them off.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
I'm just looking at this, and we talked about this 14-game stretch where they play They play playoff level teams, including what is it, the Red Sox, Phillies, Royals, and Orioles in that stretch.
I'll see you in October.
They've played 8 games thus far. They're 3-5, and there's something to go with that. They haven't had Breckman in some of those matchups. Haven't had Alvarez, and last night they didn't play with Altuve for the second time in the stretch. But I would just say right now, Clint, I think it's time to bring back the serious urgency for the Astros again. I don't know if they kind of just opened up. I think they got that thing either to 5.5 or 6 games. I think it was up to 6 games in the West, and maybe there was some kind of, all right, could take a deep breath. Well, the Mariners are now 3.5 back right now after this little slide, this little stretch here from the Astros. And they kind of got to pick it up again. They've kind of left the door cracked just a bit for the Mariners. And I know there's still 1-3 game series left between Seattle and Houston coming up in late September. But they got to kick this thing up. If guys can go, if it's not injuries, like guys got to play. Guys got to go right now. Just you know, the last thing you want to do is to give Seattle any more life to trying to get back in this thing. So I think they need to bring back that serious sense of urgency that they had running them down.
Yeah, look, I mean, the fact that they're where they are right now, given the circumstances, is wild. I mean, they're on crutches, man. They're hobbling into every damn series. Luckily, the pitching is through
that
the roof
and
is holding them down, but
it feels huge.
Yeah, they're even like last night, and we've seen it several times recently where the Shea Whitcombs of the world are helping these guys. You know, when you're down a bat, so they've just got to get back to full strength, man. They got to get back to putting their best foot forward. They got to get Kyle Tucker back at some point in time, and. I think there's no reason to panic right now. I don't think there's any reason to panic right now. I just I'm gonna let this little 18 game stretch or whatever it is. I'm gonna let this 18 game stretch just work itself out and see where we sit at the end.
Yeah, I'm saying to panic, but I do think like it was just a couple of days ago they had a 5.5 game lead. Yep. Now it's down to 3.5, and. Like the worst thing is you don't want to look up and you've gone through the weekend and bam, damn, you're up a game and a half, and now you've given them life and it's kind of come back. I think if Altuve can go, he should go, right? If Alvarez can go, if Bregman can go, they should go. I don't like the trying to get rest right now. I get the thought when you had a lead, but this isn't a 8-10 game lead right now. This thing has come back within shouting distance. So don't give Seattle no life. Don't do that. Don't give them no life. Don't do that. All right. That was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon using their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. By the way, this just coming across, I know the guys that in the loop were wondering what's going on with the running back situation. Just coming through, the Texans have waived injured rookie running back Gerard Jordan. According to other reports, British Brooks has made the roster. As Clint said, that's probably your fullback. But Gerard Jordan has been put on injured reserve or reverts to injured reserve if he clears waivers. But they have waived him thus far, so he did not make the roster. We'll continue to let you know all those numbers. They've got about 7 minutes. Any other moves given away before we get back, we will let you know that, but we will keep you updated on the guys that they've missed, the latest on Case Keenum, and the big surprise cut with Noah Brown. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.